It's a very special Saturday morning, and it's 10 o'clock, and therefore, this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And Adam, today is in one of America's favorite little towns called Fairhope. And I was just thinking all the way in, I would much rather be in Fairhope than Fairbanks. How about that?
Okay. Probably weather's probably a bit better here.
Probably just a little, right? Anyway, they, for those of you who don't know, Fairhope does a version of Mardi Gras, only unlike so many parts of Mardi Gras, the big way, it's very family-oriented, and they have friends there. And I suspect they're about to have a really good time for a little while, and I wish you nothing but fun. Meanwhile... Meanwhile, I want to welcome everybody. Because I said this is a special show, I should probably explain it. Today is the first show of year 10 for the Van Wee Financial Hour, which is mind-boggling for any of us who've been connected with it that time. It just does not seem possible. And yet, I have a calendar, and I know how to use it, and this is year 10. Thank you, thank you. It also elicits my annual story, which I'll get to in a moment, after I say to everyone, welcome back. For all the regulars who've been around, some of you for all 9 years in one show, thank you so much for being there. We'll continue it as long as you want it there, as far as I'm concerned anyway, because let's face it, it's just a lot of fun. And with almost everybody doing shows that are reruns or canned or whatever they are week to week, it's always nice to know that between 10 and 11 you can tune in, and the things we're talking about are things that are happening right now. In fact, in 9 years in one show, we have missed exactly 4 live shows. And we did do a few from my home office during COVID, but they were live. And the 4 we missed, 2 of them, the city was evacuated due to hurricanes. And the other 2 were the 1 year where Christmas and New Year's Day both fell on a Saturday and the station was closed. And other than that, we have been loyal to you, and I appreciate that you've been loyal to us. If you're new to the show, then stick around for the whole hour. We will always find something that you'll learn, whether it's extremely useful or any other version of it. It's always kind of fun. Meanwhile, lines are open, 904-222-8255, which means we will talk about what we want to talk about, unless you want to talk about something, and that's how you do it. Pick up the phone, call in, and we will put you on immediately. So anything that has anything to do with money, finance, that sort of thing, investing, and if you just want to make a comment about something, we're usually good for that, too. So here we are.
What's really remarkable, too, is that we don't get the numbers for the show. We don't know how many people listen, but we get an unofficial count by the amount of people that come into our office who have heard the show. Mm-hmm. And it always astounds me how many people are actually out there listening. And we really appreciate it, obviously, but it's helped the business grow. And we see it in the numbers of people coming into our office, which is great.
Yes, and we'll remind everybody that the various ways you can listen to it, it's live on 600 AM, and especially out at the beach, I noticed that is a really, really good signal. 101.1 FM, once you get off the beach a little bit and into town and out in the country, that usually travels a little bit better. You can always get us, no matter where you happen to be, on the internet at WBOB.com, and we'll be right there. And if you do happen to miss us, go ahead.
Also on TuneIn Radio has the stream, okay. But you can also pick up the podcast. Mm-hmm. Usually we try and get it out Monday morning, if at all possible. There's sometimes hiccups, but the podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon has, I mean, it's literally everywhere. So there's no excuses not to listen if you miss a show.
Right. Absolutely. Because if you miss a show, you might miss something that you would really prefer to know. So here we are, just like 10 years ago today. Or was it 9 years ago today? 10 years ago today, I guess. We I was driving out here from the beach, and I got a phone call about 10 minutes to showtime, and it was Adam. I had my hands free in the car, so I took it hands free, and he said, "Dad, you're not going to believe this." And I said, "Okay, try me." He said, "We have a power outage in the building. It is just out." And he also related that on his way in, this is a two-story building and we're in the penthouse on floor two. He had taken the elevator and narrowly missed being caught in the elevator, which would have been very interesting to say the least. So we got here and Angela was doing the show with Howard, the real estate show, ahead of us, and they had run out of power, so they were just kind of sitting around. But since we had never met them, we came in and chatted with them for a while and got to know them before we even said a word. Meanwhile, the people at the station were calling the JEA, asking if they had any idea when the power would be restored, and their best guess was 11:30. Well, we're on from 10 to 11, so what do? You sit around and wait and see, but not really the ultimate in preparedness. With a few minutes left in the show, all of a sudden, the lights come on, and computers start to come up, and everything starts to take shape. And we're sitting there virtually unprepared, having never done this show before. I've done a lot of radio prior to this. But it was sudden and unexpected. And if you want to pass a trial by fire, I can't think of a better way to do it. So from then on, it's been good. There was one day when the phone company phones went out. Other than that, been pretty smooth. So we continue to do it. We continue to love doing it. And we hope that you guys appreciate it too. And all you got to do is keep listening, keep calling, send us ideas. And for some of you who like the way we do things, come and see us. You can do that very easily. Adam, you want to give them the contacts for making an appointment?
Yeah, sure. You can, the easiest way is just to go find us online. You can Google Van Wee Financial. It's VANW. Just go right to the website, vanweefinancial.com. Click the meeting. That's the easiest way. But if you're old, call.
We're getting a little cutting out, Adam.
904-685-1505.
Yeah, Adam, you're cutting out quite a bit. At the first break, you might want to hang up and call in again. Meanwhile, what didn't come out, at least in my headphones, Van Wee Financial's VANWIE financial.com, and the phone number is 904-685-1505, and you can set up an appointment right online. So there's no excuse for not giving us a talking to or a talking at or a talking with, no matter what. All right, well, we got a minute to go. Normally, instead of all of my chatter, Adam would have been giving the market wrap, and instead of doing it earlier, when we come back, we'll put the trivia question out, as we usually do, and then go into the market wrap. And it's not going to be at all difficult to do. It was another fun week. There are a lot of little nuances in it, though, and we'll pick those apart, too. But just another up week in what's turning out to be a pretty good bull market. And, in fact, the trivia question we'll do today is all about that self-same bull market. So you'll want to stick around and hear that for sure. All right, we're going to take a quick break, pay a few bills. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you, as usual, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Remember that 904 is becoming more and more important around here now that we have a new area code, which is just starting up. It's in its infancy, but it's going to require everybody to be careful to make sure which one they're dialing eventually. All right, let's talk about the bull market. We had records set this week, which I'm sure Adam will allude to also, but the Dow set, I think it's ninth or so in a row, or in the since the cycle started, I should say, ninth new high. The S&P closed Friday at a new high. Adam, I'm going to interrupt this right now because we have an important call in, and I'm going to keep our promises. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Short tribute to, okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Puppy, Kitty, Phil, 1, 2, 3, less than 2 minutes. Happy anniversary, happy anniversary to the Van Wees of 10 years. Your fantastic financial reporting, advice, and more is so appreciated from us all in Northeast Florida. And from old Phil and the community of Orange Park, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are looking forward to two more 10 years and more. And please don't change, as you both are so good, and you are the best of the best. Happy, happy anniversary. Sorry I'm under the weather, so I did as best I can.
Not a problem. It's the first musical tribute that I can remember.
And the first one
just
in
so
10
everyone
years.
Knows, Phil is not a paid employee of Van Wee Financial.
That's right.
He does that on his own.
But don't tell him that if you keep it up, I have to put you in one of my trust funds, but we can handle that, okay?
Yeah, we can always handle that. Part of the day job.
Make sure your partner comes back because long distance is good, but we can tell over the ways that he's remote even if he didn't say it because how it sounds.
Yep.
However, those were for
sure.
Us old... whatnot. But anyway, congratulations. Wow, you mean we all been listening to you for 10 years?
Well, 9, starting 10 now.
Let me let you go. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it, Phil. Phil's kind of a good name for this week, isn't it? Punchatokny. I could never say that.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yep. Phil on Friday and Phil on Saturday. Did you get your Phil?
I don't even know what the results were. Are we going to see more winter or not?
It was actually not. It's only, I think, something like 23% of the time he predicts an early spring, and this was one of those. That's the good news.
Okay.
The bad news is he's only 39% accurate.
so he's basically just a meteorologist.
All right, if any of you meteorologists out there are listening, just... keep it to yourself. It's called a joke. I love it. Anyway, the forecast was for an early spring. All right, to the question. Since this bull market is raging on, it's now 478 days old. Even that seems hard to believe, doesn't it? 478 days.
It does.
But in that time, and I'm measuring the market by the S&P 500, just to put that out there, The market has risen 38.4%. How many more percent will it need until it hits the average bull market increase? You know, it's just a number between 0 and 200 or whatever. So anybody who wants to take a shot at it, you can start with the bracket. I think you'll be surprised and probably even relieved when the number comes out. All right. Go ahead.
It feels like this bull market has gone on for quite a while. I mean, it if you think back to it, 2022 was a bad year, but we're over a year removed from that.
Amazing, so isn't it?
It does feel like it's gone on for a while.
And but we have had a couple of pretty sharp setbacks on the way there. This week was kind of encapsulating the whole bull market, and that Wednesday it looked like the whole world was falling apart. And that is not how it ended up.
Always say about Fed Week?
Yep, we always do. And we're always right.
Our theory is that when the Fed speaks, you're going to see a big up day and a big down day, and you don't know what order they're going to come in, and that is exactly what happened this week. Wednesday afternoon was really volatile. It got negative, and then it tried to go positive, and then it ended the day on a really bad note. I mean, it was down severely.
Yeah, it was sour.
But Thursday morning, the futures looked pretty good, but not great. But then trading started, and man, did Thursday turn into a great day. And we followed it up with a great Friday, so it turned out to be a pretty good week. The part of that was the jobs report on Friday, which came in hotter than expected at 35,000 new jobs. And that was after a ADP report that didn't look so hot on Wednesday, which was somewhere around 100,000. But it really was not it did not foreshadow what was coming on Friday. The year to date, the NASDAQ is leading the way higher. It's got a gain of 4.8%. The S&P is up just under 4%, and the Dow is up 2.6. So we've had a pretty good January. Really, no complaints from me. The gains haven't been very uniform. What was that?
Nor I. You'll not hear me complain about a start like this. Now, that's changed from the earliest days of the year, but still, you don't measure things day at a time or even a week at a time.
Nope. And the gains really haven't been uniform, though. If you look at the Russell 2000, it's actually down over 3% this year.
Right.
And the S&P Mid-Cap Index is also down about 0.4%. So it's definitely not been, if you're holding the Equal 8 Index right now, you're probably not doing very well. If you're holding the index, you probably are doing, or the cap-weighted index, you probably are doing well. So we're really being led up by those mega caps again, which is not something that we love, but also can't complain about a market that's up 4% in a month. So but I would like to see more breadth and more stocks hitting their all-time highs than what we're seeing right now. That would be a much healthier market than what we've seen so far this year.
Yep, and I have a red alert for people everywhere. It is now official. Mark Zuckerberg is wealthy. In case anybody out there didn't know. Yesterday,
Elon Musk is not as wealthy as he was a few weeks ago, apparently.
No. Yesterday, man, did that kid make money. And anybody who's holding the QQQ or anything like that rode right there on the coattails. So whatever you're doing, thanks.
One of our research platforms that we use put out a note yesterday that said Facebook is probably the most hated app that people use all the time. And they were joking that, can you imagine how rich Zuckerberg would be if people actually liked Facebook?
No, I can't imagine today.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible because they're right. It's like, I really hate Facebook, yet I find myself on it at least a couple times a week. And I'm like, what am I doing? Get off here.
Well, if as long as you're just cruising around rather than trying to change the world, it's fine.
Yeah, that's all. I know. I don't really post. I just look. But it is one of those guilty pleasures, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The other area that we've seen some divergence in has been growth versus value. This year has been all growth. The S&P Growth Index is up 6.7%. The S&P Value Index is up by just 0.9%. So that's a spread of almost 6% between the two. It's even worse in the small cap index. Small cap growth index is down 1.7%, but the small cap value index is down over 5%. So it's the spread isn't quite as big, but no one wants to be down 5% when the market's up 4. So that's a pretty interesting divergence that we're seeing. It's been all growth this year.
Yeah, who are these fools that don't like dividends? That's what I want to know.
Pretty much everyone right
pretty
now.
Pretty much, yep. Present company excluded.
Within the S&P, same kind of story. There's been some winning sectors and some losing sectors. Communication services is up almost 10%. Semiconductors is up just under that at 9.4. But then you look at real estate, it's down 4.4, and materials are down 2.9 of roughly 14% between the winner and the loser inside the S&P. So pretty big spread for a month into this year.
Yeah, you can probably look for that to
kind of
change.
The same story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably will. Actually, real estate had a bang up fourth quarter last year. The fund we used the most often was up almost 20%. So seeing a little bit of profit taking there is not too shocking.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people in the market that are not really long-term investors. They're speculators. They make no money unless they make prices move. So they do a lot of shifting from sector to sector, company to company, or whatever, and then capitalizing on it. But you've got to do that for a living yourself personally if you're going to make anything of it. for those of us who are buy and hold and tailor it to conditions and your own financial planning, then it's better to not try to keep up. All right, we got to pay some more bills just for a minute or two. We'll go away, and then we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are, we'll repeat the trivia question, then we're going to get back into the jobs report a little bit because there are things that you need to know. But I'll remind everybody, lines are open, 904-222-8255. The question is, the current bull market is 478 days old, and during that time, the S&P 500 index has risen 38.4%. How much more, in other words, the number of percentage points, will it have to gain to just equal the average bull market increase? And it's a good number. I'll give you that. Let's see. We were hitting the jobs report, and they're kind of mixed. ADP came out at 107, and then the big number came out on Friday, the 3.7% unemployment rate stayed the same. But if you remember last week, I was telling you that the January report, which is that released in early February, is not something you can put any stock in whatsoever because the government updates statistics like population and so on, and it means that is not a directly comparative number. So you have to take it with a grain of salt and preferably wait another month to do any comparisons. And there was one thing I wanted to bring up that if you don't believe me, then maybe you'll believe the very government. Here is a quote from that very report. It says, data users are cautioned that these annual population adjustments can affect the comparability of household data over time. That is them telling you, don't believe us. And I'll prove it statistically again. At the end of December, there were 183 million people working. 31 days later, there were 161 million people working. That change is minus 31 million. If you're not convinced by now, you're hopeless. So next month, when the February numbers come in, I'll actually take a good comparison look. We have a call on the line. I don't know who it is. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year. The last time I talked to you was in 2023. So,
and who is this?
This is Greg.
Oh, you're Greg. Okay, I thought it was, but I don't want to call you something. Well, I call you a lot of things, but not a bad name.
No, that's good. So, a couple of things. I'll take a stab at the trivia, and it's just a stab. But I'm going to say 35.
You're a bit low.
Okay.
I consider that good news, by the way.
What's that?
I consider that good news. It shows that there's some room to run yet if this is going to even hit average.
Yes. We'll have to see. We'll have to see how the broader market moves. If that can pick up some steam, I think, you know, we're well on our way.
Yeah, we got to get the little guys and the mid guys kicked into gear, and then everything will look a lot better.
You bet. What prompted my call was Fair Hope. My wife and I have been down there 3 or 4 times. We discovered it 4 or 5 years ago. And there's a great restaurant in a place called Magnolia Springs. It's about 15 to 20 miles west. I think it's still in the county, and the name of the county escapes me. But it's called Jesse's, and if you haven't been there, you've got to go. It is their food and the atmosphere is unbelievable. It's great. But what's nice is, I don't know if you know who Fannie Flagg is.
It doesn't ring a bell with me.
Yeah, she's an author. She wrote the book Fried Green Tomatoes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, New York bestseller. So she used to have a home. She still may have a home in that area. But she wrote a book called Redbird Christmas. And I bought the book 3 years ago when I first learned about it. And it's a great folksy story about that area of Alabama. The names are changed, but it's basically that part of Alabama and the life that people live there, you know. And I'm thinking that this was maybe circa 1970-ish, I think. Maybe, you know, the storyline's maybe a little earlier than that. Jan and I have been there around the holidays, Christmas, and it is just a beautiful storybook town, and they have a great, what's that beautiful hotel there?
The Grand Hotel.
Yeah, the
We're
Grand
Hotel. We're
going
there for lunch today, actually.
Yeah, that's in the book, but that's on our list of one of the places we may actually may retire to. It is such a great town and great atmosphere. But
yeah,
I just wanted to say Happy New Year.
I can understand why you'd say that. It is a really great place. I've been coming here for years, and it is one of my favorite destinations. It's such a pretty place, and it's most people don't think of Alabama as being anything nice, but man, this area is really, really nice. There's a ton of wealth here. It's very pretty, yeah, and everything's maintained well. There's good restaurants. It's really a great place.
Water everywhere.
Yeah, yep. And not only that, you talk about well maintained. One of the things that I noticed right away, and I'm sure you have as well, is that when you drive down, you know, the center of town, and they've got a great little, it's quiet, but it's nice. It's not overcrowded. But you will find flowers planted everywhere in the park strip.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they really care about their town. And you're right, there
for
is
sure
a lot of wealth there, and real estate is just rocking and rolling there. I mean, it's a tight supply.
No doubt about it. My friend here actually owns a title firm, and so he closes all the real estate transactions, and we were talking last night. They did see a lull last year, but he said it picked up again this year to a point where they're really busy again.
Good.
Yeah, that's good. I don't know if that's good, but because we haven't yet bought, so I don't want too much activity. So I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. I don't want to.
Yeah, you build it up too much, and it won't be a well-kept secret anymore.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, good. I'm glad you're enjoying yourselves. And Happy New Year, and hopefully it'll be very prosperous for you guys. I'm sure it will be.
Well, thank you, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I've been through it. I don't think we ever even did so much as stop for lunch, but it is a beautiful area. It happened to be on the way to where Adam went to college, and so we did get over that direction. But we're always destination bound rather than taking our time. So I'll have to take your word for it and Greg's word for it. A couple other places like that around too, Beaufort and what's the one in Florida down around Apopka? It's supposed to be so pretty, the antiquing place. There's some places like that are destinations.
I can't, now that you asked me, if you hadn't asked me, I could have told you.
Yeah, I know, and we got a client who lives there. I still can't.
Yeah.
maybe he's listening and will come in on the text line. You never know.
If he's not golfing, he's probably listening.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. So back to the market, though, I had mentioned that there was a big variance in the sectors in the S&P. It's also been like that internationally, although the international market, the all U.S. or all world except U.S. index is down 1.3% this year, mm-hmm. and the emerging markets index, it's off 3.9%. Big reason for that is China. Mm-hmm. China is down, the Hong Kong market is off over 10% this year, and the Chinese market is down 9.6%. That's after, not all of it, but part of that is after they announced stimulus last month. And And the China market is just a mess right now. It's really dragging down everything. But on the flip side of that, you see Japan, which is up 3.7% this year, and India is up about 2.9%. So it's sort of mirroring the U.S. performance. You've got a big disparity in international markets as well as within the U.S. market. So it's probably not a surprise to anyone that's been listening to the show for the last year, but for every good data point you can find right now, there's a negative one, and that's true internationally as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, my research department, by the way, says Lake Mary.
There you go. Yeah. Yes, I wanted to say Mary. It was in the name, but I could not remember the first word. Thank you.
Anyway, China is distorting the world and the emerging market index, and they're distorting everything with their own stupidity. And all
they
I can say,
they can't get out of their own way right now.
They cannot. And it's in the name of trying to make capitalism a bad thing when it was bringing them all into prosperity. But they're trying to prove that socialism, read communism on that one, will ultimately be better off for the people and the country. And you cannot prove something that is so institutionally incorrect. So when he's going to wake up and smell the coffee, I don't have any idea. Till then, I wouldn't invest a penny in China, and I know Adam wouldn't either. Been out of it for some time now. And I think that's just good advice. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to follow up on something that we've been talking about, and it has to do with, well, kind of like China, a bunch of dumb ideas trying to be applied to some badly needed solutions to some very serious problems, and it's destined for failure again. You'll understand what I mean very shortly, as long as you stay tuned through the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Lines are open, 904-222-8255, where you can take a shot at the trivia question, which is the current bull market has seen the S&P 500 index rise 38.4%. How much further would it have to go to equal just the average bull market? And we know that 35% is too low, meaning it's got some more running to do, we hope. Before I get into this, I was thinking of something on the way out here. You know what really makes a guy feel old? You see a story like we had this week with the young hoodlums, the illegals in New York, beating up on a cop. And then you find out they were arrested without bail. And to me, that says, good. That means they're detained without the possibility of getting out until trial. Oops. Kind of changed the meaning of that, didn't they? No bail doesn't mean no bail. It means no money. Bye-bye. Yeah, just every time I hear that, I just cringe. And just an aside, I don't know what made me think of it even. Anyway, back to business. We talked about a bit and actually wrote about in the blog. For those of you who don't read the blog, if you go to our website, VanWeeFinancial.com, and you click on the blog part, that's one of the hamburger choices, then you can see they're always short, very readable, plain and to the point. My wife makes damn sure that's true. And topics are pretty much anything that might be going on or any topic you can think of that has anything to do with your money. And one of the big ones to me is tax policy. And a lot of people have not spent any time talking about the impending tax disaster when TCJA, Tax Cuts and Job Act, expires, when all of our tax rates will jump up again to where they were in 2017. That means average cost to a family would be about $2,400 out of their pocket at a time when they're already spending about another $11,000 just due to the inflationary problems we've suffered for 3 years now. This has to be stopped or it's going to deal a devastating blow to the entire economy and to a whole bunch of American families. So my topic in the last week's blog was how they lie to us about rich people. They say the rich are only paying an 8% tax, where the rest of us all pay way higher than that. It's a total lie brought to you by stupid economics, which are practiced by stupid economists, where they're saying that the rich have an income that is equal to the gain on their assets every year. That's not a cash income, but the increase in value, they say, is an income. And therefore, when you use that, when you add that to the divisor, then you will find that their tax rate is way low. Well, that's not how taxes work. It's stupid, and I wrote about it. And I think I pretty much debunked that. But what now? This week, I've read three or four different places. There's a proposal now to save Social Security. And that proposal is to eliminate income tax on Social Security benefits. Now, I question myself and say, how are you going to save Social Security by eliminating one of the sources of funding? Most people don't understand how Social Security is funded. Everybody knows, if you have a job or have ever had a job, that your FICA deduction, 6.2%, comes out of your paycheck. If you had a business of your own and you were self-employed, anything like that, then you pay both sides of it, so you're paying the 12.4%. And that goes into the Social Security fund, and that's what most people believe is the funding mechanism for Social Security. But that's not all. The IRS also refunds to Social Security taxes collected on the benefits, the tax they charge on benefits for people who make above $25,000. They'll get 50% of their income taxed at whatever their rate is. And up at $34,000, it goes to 85% times their tax rate. Well, that money, whatever that generates annually in Social Security, is credited back to the Social Security Trust Fund. If you take it to zero, Social Security loses a huge source of funding. Now, that to me doesn't sound like a really good start towards saving the system. There's one other thing that they do, too. Sometimes Congress passes a law. For instance, when they added on the disability part to the retirement part, it put a lot of people eligible for benefits who had not paid into it. And they didn't pay into it because there was nothing there to pay into because there were no benefits for disability. So what Congress did, they took an actuarial amount of money that it would take to fund that part of the program, and they put it into the system to make it capable of handling the benefits. That is not the only time that Congress has done this, because sometimes they make changes that are more costly than can be made up by the existing tax structure. But that's the only times. Social Security was never meant to, and is not now, funded by general revenues. There are people out there who think this is a good idea to fund Social Security through general revenues. I am not one of them. Once you lose the identification of those funds coming in, then it's just like anything else. So let's take a look at what they're saying here. They're saying, don't pay the taxes on it. Okay, well, what are you going to do to bring it back where it is? Because everybody is pretty much aware that the estimated year of insolvency is 2034. But this group, it's a couple of progressives in the House, they say that they can save the system up until 2054. Well, first off, adding 20 years is like taking a bucket of water from the swimming pool shallow end and putting it in the deep end. That's nothing in the big scheme of things, absolutely nothing. But still, they're using it as a selling point. And here's how they want to do it. Many times over the past few years, you've heard people propose that they want to start the withholding again, the 12.4%, 6.2% for an individual working. They want to start that withholding process again for income above $250,000. We have a name for that. It's called tax the rich. They want to tax the rich to save the system. What people may or may not realize is that that $250,000 is never even discussed as far as being indexed to inflation. What is indexed to inflation is the amount of money that the working people get charged that withholding on. That's 6.2%. And this year, with the inflation we've had, it's rising rapidly. Adam and I estimated it yesterday because I hadn't read the number lately, and we were way under. It's $168,800. So between, yeah. So any income today above $168,800 does not have FICA withholding on it. Well, they want it to jump up then for people making more than $250,000 and restart it without indexing the $250,000. Next year, that $168,000 might be $176,000, and then it'll be $190,000. And by the year 2034, there will be no gap in there. In other words, 100% of earned income would be subject to the 6.2% withholding. That is called really, really soaking the rich to me. And that's not all. You always, if you study these things and you look at a proposal that's on its face, not likely to be worth anything, there's always, the devil's in the details, there's always something to find. Well, in this little proposal, we have a thing called the trust fund hold harmless rule. What does that mean? I'm not sure, so I read into it. That means that they're going to add from general revenues the loss of the money they get from taxing Social Security benefits. What it is another government transfer payment from the people paying taxes on their Social Security to the general revenues. Who pays most of the general revenues? Gee, would it be the rich? Since only about 49% of the public pays any income tax whatsoever, this is a big batch of smoke and mirrors to basically put the entire Social Security system into, eventually, into general revenues and let the rich pay for everything. What is the problem there? I've spoken a couple times about the book Taxes Have Consequences, Steve Moore's very insightful book. I don't know if anybody knows how high individual tax rates have been at the top level, but 94% was around for a while. One of the periods of time that's often misunderstood is the 50s. In the 50s, tax rates should have fallen because the war was over. They didn't. They stayed high and the economy was quite stagnant. They were lowered subsequent to that and went up big